Now firstly, I would like to read in the first book in your Bible, the book of Genesis and chapter 24. And we read at verse number 32. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there were set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. Now down the chapter, please. Verse 49. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Now down to verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Now I'll ask you to turn over to the book of Numbers, please. Numbers chapter 10. And we read at verse number 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Verse 32, And it shall be, if thou wilt go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Now that will suffice for reading. We want you to think with us tonight on a crisis in a young woman's life. When a question was put to her, Wilt thou go with this man? And a crisis in a young man's life, when Moses, with a warm heart, enjoying the prospect of the blessing that is in store for God's people, and looking on his own brother-in-law, oh, in effect he said, you know, I wouldn't like you to miss what God's people are going to enjoy. For he said, The Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said, I will not go. A young woman that responded, I will go. And a young man that made the response, I will not go. This most interesting passage in the book of Genesis, where you know there's no book like our Bible for an interesting book to read. And I want you to notice in this passage some of the main characters that are brought before us that give us a lovely illustration of the gospel that we preach. You notice that the servant could speak about the greatness of his master. You know, for this damsel, she was watering camels and going about her normal chores to learn that the greatest master in the East, unconscious to her, was planning her future and planning her blessing. And like the gospel preacher, the servant could say, my master is great. But despite his greatness, he has an interest in the future and an interest in the blessing of a damsel that's watering camels. Oh, tonight, friend, I'd like to assure you, I don't know what your past has been. I don't know whether you've lived your life and left absolutely no room for God. I want to tell you, I have a God that has an interest, and an interest in your eternal blessing. Then he spoke about his master's son, and said the servant, if I could tell you how great my master is, I could tell you how great his son is. For he is a son that's equal in greatness to the master that I serve. For said that servant, unto him hath he given all that he hath. Oh, the wonder of salvation is this, friend. That's one that was equal to God upon the throne. One in whose presence seraphim veiled themselves and cried his holiness, an angel sped at his bidding, was to stoop to a cross of shame to provide salvation for men. One equal to God upon the throne. Yet upon the cross he bore my sins. Oh, said the servant, my master is great, and my master's son is equal in greatness to the master that I serve. Then he told of his own mission to the home. Coming with the commission from his master, coming with all the authority of his master, and coming into the home of Rebecca to win her heart to an absent lover, to search and call for one that would share the future with Isaac, would share the glory that is his, would share all the wealth that his father has bestowed upon him. Oh, there's a partner that will share that with him. And his mission, commissioned by his master, was to win the heart of a damsel to join in that wealth and glory. You'll notice that he would emphasize the urgency of the mission that he had. Oh, he said, I will neither eat nor drink until I have told mine errand. He said, hinder me not. I'll turn to the right hand or to the left. Oh, he said, a crisis in the life of a young woman. And the servant would impress upon all who heard his interesting story that there was urgency with the mission and there was urgency with the matter. And to him, it was the most important matter in his mission to win the heart of Rebecca and that the journey might start. But then Rebecca comes into a place of prominence. Oh, there was no doubt about it that his master's will and plan was for our blessing. There was no doubt that there was one across the desert scene that waited with expectancy to embrace her on her coming and to share the glory with him. But her mother and her brother would say, let the damsel abide a few days, at the least 10. But then they called the damsel, and they presented the evidence, and the servant made his appeal, and the question was placed to, or put to this young woman, wilt thou go with this man? And all that was needed for the journey to start, and all that was needed for to join an Isaac across the wilderness scene, was her will to be yielded, was her willingness to go. But she never trod the journey before. She knew nothing about the way that she would take. I like this. The servant that won her heart was by her side the entire journey through. And not until she was in the embrace of Isaac was the servant's work over. And as the Savior left his own upon the earth, oh, he said, I'll pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, and he shall be with you forever. And when the sinner yields his will, when the sinner declares, it's Christ for me, he becomes the responsibility of divine care, and not one that has trusted Christ for salvation will fail to arrive in the presence of that glorious one at the end of the journey. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Could we emphasize that ground? Could we think of Hobab? Oh, as a Moses spake of the portion that God has for his people. Oh, said Moses, God has spoken good concerning Israel. Here we have a man, and he's living in anticipation of the portion that God has promised his people. Sometimes we sing, we speak of the land of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed. But what must it be to be there? And it's only the Christian that has any appreciation of what God has in store for them that love him. And with Moses we would say, we wouldn't like you to miss what God's people are going to enjoy. And despite the earnest entreaty of that great servant of God, and despite the fact that Moses himself was enjoying the anticipation of that blessing that God has for his people, a young man said, I will not go. And you know, as meetings draw to a close, and as the claims of Christ are presented, oh, the love of God for men, a verse that should melt the heart of any man and should melt any resistance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Savior, having gone to the cross, there he died for our sins. There he acclaimed with a loud voice, it is finished, and we sing. When the Savior said, it is finished, everything was fully done. Done as God himself would have it, Christ the victory fully won. And he laid down his life, and the third day rose from the dead. And with the very marks of his passion on his person, he commissioned his own to go forth with the gospel. Listen to the commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have authority from our Bible to tell you, man, God loves you. Man, a provision was made at the cross that can meet your need. Said he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Friend, there's only two places. There's heaven, there's hell. There are only two places in which people dwell all through the ages of eternity. Only two places, and which shall it be? And it's the response of the individual to the message of the gospel that will determine whether it's salvation with Christ or eternal damnation without him. Oh, said the servant, my master is great. Is it not a wonder, friend? Despite the eternal character of God, he was there before everything of life and matter. Everything in creation owes its origin to him. And yet in those eternal ages, God plans salvation for fallen man. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem the greatness of God in creation. Oh, said the psalmist, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And to think that the eternal God had the blessing of sinners in mind before we had a being, and his Son equal to God upon the throne. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Oh, doubtless the servant would tell about that experience when Abraham and his son that he loved and honored went up Moriah's heights, and God brought a man nearer to his heart than any man ever was before. For he allowed an Abraham to have a father's feelings when he put his only Isaac upon the altar, telling out, he who spared not his own son. Remember, young man, to provide salvation, God gave his son to the death of the cross. And midst rending rocks and darkening skies, my Savior bowed his head and died. And when the sun went into darkness, and the mountains trembled and rent, and I hear from the darkness that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And the poet answered, it was because my sins, by God on him were laid. He who himself had never sinned for sinners, sin was made. Oh, remember that to provide salvation for the sinner, God gave the Son that he loved, and he gave him to the death of the cross. And he treated his son without mercy, that he might be merciful to the sinner. The wrath, the awful wrath that Jesus felt for me when bearing my sin's heavy load he died on Calvary. Ah, said the servant, my master received his son back from the altar, and he's in the place of honor. But my master has planned, and his son desires a partner to share that wealth and glory with him. And the wonder is this, friend. The one that went to the cross, men spat on him, derided him, scourged him. And in those dread hours, God meted out to his own son the punishment, the judgment that was my due. But up from the grave he arose, and he sits at God's right hand in scenes of glory. What does he desire? He desires the companionship of sinners saved by grace to share scenes of coming glory with him. Do you know, sinner, God desires you to know a place in glory. God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. And listen again, one mediator. Away with all religious systems that claim to mediate. Says my Bible, the unerring word of God, one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And there was one on the cross, friend, that could lay his hand upon the throne in equality with God. And yet one who could reach the sinner in all the depth of her need. And in effect, he could say, if he owes thee aught, put that to my account, I will repay. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Now, my master's plan, his son's desire, is that a Rebecca should share that wealth and glory with him. And the servant come forth speaking of the work of the Spirit. Oh, he would treat it with urgency. And he would say, hinder me not. I will not eat until I have told my urn. I'll turn to the right hand or to the left. Oh, said her mother and her brother 10 days. No, said the servant, hinder me not. Your Bible says now. Your Bible says today. Hinder me not, said the servant. And the damsel was called. Oh, what a moment in the life of a girl. To water camels with a hopeless future. To share the wealth and the honor of the greatest in the East. And the question was put, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And said a Moses to Hobab, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Oh, Hobab, I wouldn't like you to miss what God has in store for his people. And said Hobab, I will not go. I'm putting it to you tonight, friend. There was one that left the glories of heaven. And to provide salvation for the sinner, he stooped to the shame and death of the cross. One willing to die in our stead, that souls so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of our life to forgive. Will you say no to him tonight? Will you tell me you have difficulty trusting him? One willing to die. One that has satisfied every claim of divine justice on the question of sin. God is satisfied. And you have difficulty trusting him. Tell me, could we put the Spirit's question to the sinner tonight? Wilt thou go? And she said, I will go. And the servant's responsibility was to preserve her on the journey home. Oh, we would have loved to have spoken of that union. Oh, the wondrous joy of meeting all the desert past. Oh, what wondrous words of greeting he will speak at last. He and I together entering those bright courts above. He and I together sharing all the Father's love. We'll soon be in his presence. The journey will soon be over. And we'll thank him for the night of conversion when, as a trembling sinner, I said, I will go. And the journey ended in the presence of the one who awaited her. Sinner, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go.